Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with percussionist Patty Neamy. She's written a book called Sticking It Out. It describes how she came to be a member of the San Francisco Opera Orchestra. I asked her what attracted her to percussion in the first place.
That's a good question. We start when we're so young. I started when I was 10, and at the time, I think I just wanted the ability to show off as much as possible. So I was attracted to the thing where you could make the most noise. That's really all it was, and it turned out to be a lot of fun right away.
Your description of your life in this book is so busy. You're busy from morning till night, practicing, playing, taking auditions. When did you have time to write this?
That's another good question. I didn't really start until I got my job in San Francisco Opera. I'd always been a reader, and I love to write, but I kind of put it aside, those most intense years, which I wrote about in the book.
So why did you write it? What did you want to say most?
I love to read books about how people become what they do. Those are my favorite things to read, how you become a gymnast or a writer or sober or cured, and specifically what you have to do to overcome obstacles. I just wanted to write, this is how I became a musician. This is how I did it.
Your story is fascinating on so many different levels and covers a lot of different subjects. Music education at its highest levels, the Interlochen experience, which seems to the layperson to be brutally competitive, these weekly challenges that you had.
They were. It's kind of hilarious to talk about them because they don't sound like anything else, and they weren't. It starts to get you used to the idea of taking auditions at a very young age. I was 15 when I started going there. And weekly, we have these barbaric challenges. So you have to compete against your section mates, your friends, right from the beginning.
And your position within the group is constantly changing.
Then. Rising and falling every week, yes.
And then you got into Juilliard, which was its environment all its own.
Right.
And then New World Symphony. It seems to me that the higher you got in your career, or the more advanced you became, you had a smaller and smaller group of people. And that group of people were both your closest friends and
yes.
Your competitors.
Yes. I think that's one of the hardest things. You're constantly with your friends all day long, and most of us become a smaller and smaller group of friends and boyfriends and girlfriends and, you know, mentors. We become a very small group, and these are the people you compete with. So it's pretty painful sometimes.
So you have to be very collaborative and nurturing and supportive in one setting and very competitive in another.
Yeah, the competition is always there. It never goes away, and we all can acknowledge it without even saying anything about it. You have to support your friends and you want to. It kind of forces you to go deeper inside yourself and say, someone else's success is not my failure. I have to be okay with that.
You talk about the difference between auditions and performing and the whole concept of learning excerpts. It's fascinating because excerpts, especially if you're in percussion, are they just the spots that you play?
Yeah, they're very short for the most part. A lot of percussion is just exclamation points. We add color, we add exclamation here and there. Our longer excerpts tend to be on mallets or, you know, a snare drum excerpt. But for the most part, they're pretty short. And I think I wrote about this. It becomes much more like sport than anything else. Lots of repetition. You do it over and over. You get good at what you do.
But the difference in performing is... it's like a totally different experience then.
It can be. There are times where we're playing these specific excerpts, things that are most difficult to play on any one of our percussion instruments. And that can feel like its own pressure. You've heard it so many times. You personally know it so well. And you get into this idea that everything has to be perfect all the time. That becomes a real source of anxiety. It was for me. I can't say for anyone else, but I assume it's a little bit the case. That the idea that everything has to be perfect becomes a tremendous source of anxiety.
I was thinking about what it must be like to be in a percussion section. If you are a violinist, you probably won't get solo lines in a piece
right.
for some time. But if you're a beginning percussionist, from day one, basically, you have exposed lines.
Right. that's part of it, is that we're the only one playing that part. Unless you're in a marching band, nobody else is playing your cymbal part or your bass drum part or your xylophone part. So a lot of the solo instruments and orchestras, it's a different kind of pressure. Nobody else is playing what we're doing. But I'd say sometimes there's something else with percussion, in that we can't hide. You can't take back a cymbal crash. It's there or it's not. And if you put it in the wrong place, it's pretty intrusive. So that's another source of pressure, I would say.
And the fact that you are waiting in many pieces.
Yes.
And you have to count.
The waiting is the worst part, I would say, because all your insecurities intrude into those moments. You sit there and you're waiting. When you're doing, you're being physical, you're performing, you're thinking about what you're doing, or you're concentrating, or you're not thinking. You're just action. Action is involved. But when you're waiting, all you're doing is thinking about what could go wrong. And that's another source of anxiety.
And then there's all the instruments you have to learn. It just seems so all-encompassing. What did you think was the biggest challenge for you in terms of navigating this career path?
For me, it was anxiety. It became performance anxiety. I took really well to the idea of working incredibly hard. That didn't bother me. It didn't bother me what I was missing out on, because I didn't feel like I was missing anything. I enjoyed practicing. It was really the performance anxiety that was the hardest thing to overcome. And I can't say I've completely done it at this point. It's still hard. I think some of it comes from trying to be perfect. And the idea, I talk about recordings, the idea that for the most part, unless it's a live recording, it's going to be pretty perfect at this point. You can do it over and over again. So you're being compared to recordings. Your live performances are being compared to recordings. Your auditions are being compared to about usually 75 other people, some of whom may be perfect. So the idea of perfection kind of closes in on you and makes you feel like, wow, I have to be perfect all the time. And while you know it's not true of everybody else, it can start to feel like it. And that causes a lot of anxiety.
This idea of perfection would also seem to run up against this sense that you have to be technically accurate, but you also have to be, once you're in a performance with a conductor, you have to be musical.
Right, right. So it's almost like being perfect, but being better than perfect. Take that perfection and make it your own. That's kind of what it feels like. It's different for every percussion instrument, because something like cymbals, you really do feel more like an exclamation point, or you're adding this color or this finish to that. This is the punctuation that ends this horn solo or something. Mallets are a little different. We can play a melody. We can play an accompanying line on mallets. Bass drum is different. Bass drum is more like punctuation too. So all the different percussion instruments have their own something they need to add. Something like bongos or congas or even snare drum sometimes. They're laying down the rhythm. They're laying down what everybody else needs to follow. So everybody has their own role, every percussion instrument.
So what is your favorite percussion instrument?
I love to play cymbals. I just love it, especially in opera. There are so many people involved. You have singers, you have a chorus. There are hundreds of people there. And sometimes I get to be louder than everybody else, and that's a lot of fun. I would say that's my favorite thing, probably playing cymbals.
One of the other themes that runs through this book is being a woman in a male world. And probably a lot of readers will relate to that, whether they're musicians or
right,
not.
Right.
Because you mentioned it even in context with the Anita Hill hearings.
Right. That was a big sea change for me, listening to her. That happened, it was 1991. And when those hearings took place, I had been out of school for about 4 years by that time. And I had a situation with a teacher at Juilliard that was not good for me. It became a situation where he was obviously in power. He was my teacher, far older, and he decided he was in love with me. So that was a very bad situation for me. But I think I tried to be fair in the book and say that nobody talked about it at the time. So he wouldn't have had the benefit of knowing that there are seminars now. You can't become a teacher in any kind of school without having a seminar or a discussion about what boundaries you can't cross, what you cannot do to your students. And he didn't have the benefit of that, so I tried to be fair about that part. And neither did I have the benefit of discussing it with anybody. Nobody talked about it.
Well, and you also point out the really difficult box that women can find themselves in. I think you said in some place you wanted a relationship with him because he was
right.
a really good teacher
right.
and he could help you. You just didn't want the relationship that he was pushing
exactly.
on you.
Yeah. So, and that's what Anita Hill taught me when I felt this tremendous relief listening to her, and I'm sure a lot of other women did too, is that it's not about sex, it's about power. And her discussing that made me feel like, oh yeah, that's why it was bad for me. That's why it didn't work for me. That's why it was really destructive for me internally, was that it was about power. He had the power. Maybe he didn't even know it, but he was the powerful one. I didn't want to leave him as a student because he had, he was able to offer me how to become a great player. He was a terrific teacher as far as what he had to teach. So that was the power differential, is I didn't want to leave. I wanted to study with him. I just didn't want to be in that position of feeling so tremendously uncomfortable all the time.
It's interesting because each stage of your career seemed to kind of hone a different kind of skill in terms of, you know, Juilliard, you had this one-on-one with teachers who really taught you how to play the instrument.
Right.
And then New World Symphony, what did that teach you?
Teaches you how to play in an orchestra. Because you get good at what you do, you're doing it all day long. That's all we did. Besides practicing, we still had to practice a lot there because we were about to take auditions. But we got into a situation where we just played music all day long, played with an orchestra. And that's how you learn to play with an orchestra.
What kept you going during all of this? Because the path that you lay out is very rocky. I mean, there are lots of challenges all the time. And I must say, you paint these great pictures, whether it's practicing in the bottom of a stairwell and seeing imaginary little flies on your music, or being in the back of an orchestra. I forget what the story was. Maybe it was that first time at the Westchester Philharmonic when
right.
you had trouble with the drum roll. And,
right.
and sort of the build up to what you were thinking and feeling is that the time was coming for you to play that. I mean, you really paint pictures beautifully.
Thank you.
What kept you going? You mentioned that a lot of people drop out, a lot of people do other things, because it is difficult.
Some do, and that's the one thing I think I wanted to convey in writing a book, is just that there's no such thing as failure until you give up. And I think maybe that's what kept me going, is I just wanted to succeed. It's what I wanted to do pretty much from the time I was 10 years old. I wanted to play in an orchestra. And if you're able to recognize that failure is not failure, that they're just potholes, there's no stopping what you want to do, whatever you're passionate about. You have to be given the passion somehow, or find your passion.
So there's obviously a sense of joy that you have in this world, in this business. Can you describe what it feels like to be in an orchestra?
It is joyful. It's incredibly joyful. I've had 24 years with my job now in San Francisco Opera, and playing, just being surrounded by that sound and knowing you're a part of it, it's an amazing feeling. Adding to it, I mean, some of my favorite operas now are just, I go back to loud again, but they're the loudest times, when you have hundreds of people singing on stage and another 100 in the pit, and just being able to add to that, it's joyful. Making that noise is really joyful.
Well, congratulations on your book. Congratulations on your successful path.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for talking to me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.